Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. In the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the merger between audiobooks and spiritual ideas. We've looked at devotionals and a couple of novels based on the Christmas story, and we ended last week with an interview with author Becky Woolley and her discussion of her book, Nonprofit Murders. It was an interesting podcast. I invite you to go back and check it out at narrationbygeorge.com. Click on podcasts on the homepage. And it's a subject we will come back to at a later time. Now, this week, we're going to shift gears and move into the world of history, American history specifically. Historical novels are a unique way to learn history. You know, when I was young, I was interested in history, but I wasn't interested in picking through a series of dates to match to events which might have occurred on those tests that my teachers gave me. So history studies were sorely lacking. As I've aged, I've become more interested in history, partly, I think, because I've lived through some significant events in our history, from the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy in the 60s, through the falling of the Berlin Wall, to the attack on America by Islamic terrorists on 9/11/01. But I find that my interest in history is shifting from the understanding of events, as important as that is, to the understanding of the people who were behind the events, from seeing the macro to delving into the micro. Historical fiction provides an interesting insight into the characters behind the events. While some of the characters interacting with key characters may be fictional, the key characters are usually not. The key characters encapsulate the author's understanding of that historical figure's persona. While it is one person's interpretation of that man or woman, it is certainly a look into the character based on research and is certainly worth considering. I've recorded several books for Helping Hands Press which fall into the historical fiction category. We're going to look at two today. Our first novel comes from the Declaration of Independence series. This series tracks four of the signers of the Declaration of Independence on the day of signing and asks the question, would you have signed? The full series tracks Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, Francis Lewis, and John Hancock. I've recorded the episode with John Hancock's story in it. Hancock is, of course, known for his bold signature on the Declaration, but he, along with the other signers, had much to lose by signing this document. Hancock was a wealthy trader, known to the English, and even accused of smuggling, though it was never proven. But we see a side of the founders that is often attacked today. Many of the founders owned slaves. While Hancock did own three slaves, this was problematic for him. Take a listen to this sample from the book, The Declaration of Independence series, John Hancock, by Joseph Max Lewis. I inherited Philip, his wife, and one other Negro man. We've known each other forever, and to him I'm always Mr. John or Master John, never Master. Unless he disapproves of me or something I've done, then I'm master. It's Philip's way of reminding me that while I might be able to buy his person, I cannot buy his approval. He's a fine man, and I wish I could tell him some day he and those he loves will be free. What times we do live in, when telling a man he shall one day be free might destroy the first country in history where everyone is destined to be free. No doubt if we attempt to free the Negroes, those that hate liberty will stir the South to join in the war against us. If we delay the great emancipation demanded by the Almighty, the same forces that enslave not just the Negro, but hold all men in some degree of bondage will use our hypocrisy against us. And make no mistake, it is hypocrisy. Every day that I charm the Southern delegates, I despise their lifestyle and know that one day, perhaps in my lifetime, we will be at war with each other. What times we do live in, when a patriot like Crispus Attucks could have been enslaved should he have found himself in the wrong place in the South merely because of the chocolate color of his mulatto skin. Yet when the time came to defy the British occupiers in Boston, it was Crispus who led our men, telling the redcoat lobster he'd have off one of his claws. Even though the redcoats killed him in the massacre, to the Southerners his sacrifice on freedom's altar wasn't enough to change the color of his skin. The hard truth is, we will not free the Negro slaves. Not Philip, not any, not because we don't want to, but because we can't. The Southerners would revolt, and might even go so far as to side with the British. Even in the North, many of us now deemed leaders would find ourselves isolated, powerless, and soon replaced by others who either do not share our vision or are less equipped to bring it to fruition. No, freeing the black man will require a war, and the forces of liberty are barely able to fight one war, let alone two. No doubt those that hate liberty and embrace hate amongst the races will use this against us, not only now, but far into the future. We can only trust this and future generations will be wise enough to detect the charlatan, understand his aim, and reject his deception. That battle is for another time, and will be fought by other men. We must fight the one in front of us now. Some of us have made a pact, secret but growing, where we swear before Almighty God that upon our death, when our usefulness is at an end, all humans owned by us will be set free. My father was a preacher, and though he died when I was 7, some things he said I still remember well. How can one man own another man when the good book tells us we were all created in God's image, eh, young master? He asked me. Mark this, lad. Those who deign to own others created in the image of God will pay for their property in blood. And so we shall, one horrid day. But my father was a man of the cloth. I am a man of responsibilities. I now understand things my father did not. Since the serpent tempted Eve, doing more good than ill is often the best we can do in this broken world. More truth? Men have never been free, except for a few men, for a few years, in a handful of small Greek cities. We now have the chance to free a continent, for that is where we shall go, to free all men, even if it is only some now, it will be more later. Yes, Philip should be free, as should his children and all others, but unless we free ourselves first, we shall never be able to free them. Subjects have not the power to free anyone. For the first time, we will set men free, and yes, only by our death will we have the power to free the Negro. We all agreed, Washington, myself, and others, that this is a secret we must take to the grave. When we die is when we will be free of our hypocrisy. Some day I will answer to God for this decision. It's another thing that keeps me awake at night. That sample is from the Declaration of Independence series, John Hancock, by Joseph Max Lewis. This audiobook will be available this week from Helping Hands Press. You can find out more about it at my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Do a search from the bottom of the homepage, or go to myhelpinghandspress.com and click on the shopping cart and do a search for Declaration of Independence series. The second novel I want to talk about comes from Civil War times. Let Freedom Ring is Murray Pura's series about those troubled times. The first volume of the series, The Sutler of Petersburg, also by Joy Ross Davis, tells of a merchant to the soldiers called a sutler. Now, this was a term that I had to look up. I was not familiar with the idea of a settler. Most, from what I read, were not well thought of. They were opportunists whose victims were the soldiers of battle, supplying to them those items which were not supplied by their respective army, willing to do anything, or almost anything, for a fee. In our book, we meet Tucker D., the sutler who has hung around after the Battle of Petersburg. His presence takes a turn when he decides to help the soldiers around him and befriends a very young soldier. When he emerged again a few minutes later, he had some herbal medicines and clean cloths tucked under one arm, and in one hand he carried the glass pitcher. Down the steep hill he walked, mumbling a few choice words under his breath, berating himself for using his own supplies to help these soldiers. The sutler never gives anything away for free. That's a cardinal rule. If his sutler friends could see him now, carrying a load of medicine and cloth to the wounded, they'd bend over double, laughing at him. "Look at Tucker D.," they'd say. "He's gone all soft." But they couldn't see him, since the dozen or so of them had all left Petersburg well over 2 months ago, couldn't take the screams and pleas of dying men around them. "Sissies," he grumbled, "pure sissies." He winced as he knelt beside the men, then pointed to the fittest but smallest among them. "Do what you can for them," he said to the frail soldier. "They'll owe me." Then he held the pitcher to their lips to give each of them some water. When they had their fill, he took out a clean cloth, got it soppy wet, then carefully wiped the faces and hands of each of the four wounded soldiers, assessing the wounds as he went along. He ran his own hands along each wound, checking for infection, but found none. On one occasion, he examined a minor head injury. The wounded soldier looked at him square in the eyes. "It feels better," the soldier said, "like it's almost healed up. You a magician?" Tucker D. grunted. "Huh," he said. "I'm not a magician, boy. I'm the sutler, the only sutler left in Petersburg." He held out the small bunch of flowers. "Take a whiff of this. It's strong, but it will relieve your pain." The soldier did as he was told and smelled the small blue flowers. He wrinkled his nose and pushed them away. "Phew," he said. "Huh," Tucker D. said, bringing the flowers to his nose. "It's only pennyroyal. Grows all over the fields here. Smells fragrant and sweet, like mint." "You are right," the wounded soldier said. "My pain is almost gone." On his knees, Tucker D. moved from soldier to soldier, using his hands and the flowers to relieve their wounds. When he came to the smallest of them, he stopped. "No wounds?" the small soldier replied with a shake of the head. Tucker D. grabbed onto the low-hanging branch of a nearby tree and pulled himself up. "Thank you," the small soldier said, "for tending to them."
"Humph! They'll owe me."
From the glass pitcher, he poured more water on the cloth and held it out to the small soldier.
"Here," he said. "Looks like you could use a good wash yourself. It's on the house."
The soldier nodded.
"Much obliged."
The voice that came from the young soldier was not what Tucker D. expected. It was higher pitched than he had imagined it should be.
"What's your name, soldier?"
"Jack," came the soft reply.
"Where are you from, Jack?"
"Ireland."
"Well, glory be, you're a long way from home then, aren't you?"
The small soldier nodded. Tucker D. noticed the small one staring up at him, wide-eyed.
"Something bothering you?"
"You're awfully big," the small soldier said.
"Yeah, I used to wrestle bears."
The soldier stared up at him, mouth open. Tucker D. chuckled.
"I got plenty of maps if you need one for your travels back home. Let you have it for a single bill. Even give you some change."
He motioned toward the tent.
"Got me a few coins stashed away for making change," he said. "Hard to come by now, they are. All these paper bills, stamps, and tickets. Not many coins left."
But the soldier did not reply, kept on tending the leg and shoulder wounds of the men.
"Their wounds are almost healed," the small soldier said.
"Seems so," Tucker D. said. I got a saddle for sale, too. One of those McClellans. Right nice. Almost new. Named after that cap'n fella. You can look at it the next time you're in the tent. It's got a thick leather skirt with a girth strap made of wool yarn. It's lightweight and easy on the horse.
The soldier stared at him, perplexed. We don't have a horse, sir, the small voice said. Tucker D cleared his throat.
Well, this saddle I was talking about came with a nose bag, a curry comb, lariat, picket pin, even a thimble to hold the muzzle of a carbine. It's some saddle. Got a bright-colored saddlecloth, too.
The small soldier made no response.
I'd best be going.
Tucker D trudged up the hill, hands on his back, and went to his tent with only an empty glass pitcher, the bandages and herbals he'd left with the men.
Could have made good money off those medicines, he chastised himself. Sometimes my thinking just ain't right.
That sample is from Murray Pura's Let Freedom Ring series, The Sutler of Petersburg, by Joy Ross Davis. The audiobook is available from Helping Hands Press. That's myhelpinghandspress.com. And you can also find info on my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com/books. So what do we learn of history from these two books? We see some of the character of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. In our sample, we see his wrestling over the issue of slavery. In other sections of the book, we see his working with delegates to ensure that there will be a unanimous signing of the Declaration. We capture a flavor of the town of Philadelphia during the summer of 1776. It was indeed hot. We find out what a sutler is and what he is really like. We learn something about the Irish Brigade and their role in the Civil War. Now, you don't hear all of that in the samples that I played, but they are in the audiobooks themselves, so I encourage you to check them out. Both books are by Joy Ross Davis. Check out her website as well. That's joyrossdavis, all one word, .com. My website for all my recorded audiobooks is narrationbygeorge.com. And don't forget our publisher, Helping Hands Press. They are at myhelpinghandspress.com. A final note before we go, I will be a part of the Here Now Festival in Kansas City, Missouri, June 11 through 14 this year. I know that on Thursday night of that week, the opening night of the festival, I will be reading Mark Twain in a free event that is to be hosted by Prospero's Books. You can find more info at the Here Now website. They are herenowfestival.org. The event is still being put together, so some of the information is still sketchy, but I'm sure it'll fill in later. And as I have more, I'll share it with you. So that's our time today for the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Join me next week as we continue to look at other historical audiobook settings. See you then.